Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Boom! Ready, down!
Welcome back to Chairshot NFL. You can follow us at Chairshot NFL. My name is PC Tony, and I am joined, as always, by the IWC War Chief himself, Andrew Belaz. We are back in the house, my brother. How the hell are you?
Don't you do like 97 shows? How are you always accompanied by me? Like, how does that even work here?
On this show.
Oh, on this show,
yeah.
Specifically.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just checking, because yeah. I'm just like you do so many shows. Like, I feel like that's a little disingenuous, you know.
I have a pentagon of shoes currently. You can listen to me Mondays on Bandwagon Nerds. You can listen to this show Thursday mornings henceforth during the NFL season. You can listen to The Oddity usually Thursdays, but every week. DWI obviously every Friday, and The Big Five Project, myself, Dave Ungar, and DJ on the Attitude of Aggression podcast. We recently covered WrestleMania 10 in our march through WWE pay-per-view history. Check that out. Double watch along, Owen and Brett, and the ladder match between Razor and Sean. And we were lucky enough to have DPP on for that one. So I would assume there will be more guests wanting to come on that show as we get into the Attitude Era. But we're not quite there yet. We still need to struggle through the rest of 94 and 95 till things get a little bit better for me.
At least you passed WrestleMania 9 already, so that's good. That's yes. Like the first real big hurdle.
There's plenty of hurdles in there too in those years of the early 90s. But we're having a good time. We're having a good time over there. But nonetheless, your NFL talk is back right here, myself and Andrew Belaz. Let's start off with our team hot takes on how we felt the offseason has gone. Would you like to go first and talk about your Buccaneers?
I mean, I'm honestly more interested to see what you think about your team, because the little bit that I saw of the Packers not starting lineup, I was less impressed than Stetson Bennett. So, like, you know what I mean? So
I think people are thinking too much about that 27-2 game in Denver, which I don't think really means anything. Like, listen,
Zach Wilson lit you up.
But we didn't play any starters that whole game.
But Zach Wilson.
Listen. Patrick Clifford and the other fucking rookie are both cut. We traded for Malik Willis.
That's a good trade. Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, thank God you got a quarterback.
I can't believe Greg Joseph is our kicker. I thought they'd cut both them fuckers and pick someone else up. But we'll see. I mean, the Packers have switched from a 3-4 to a 4-3 on defense, which is supposed to really help, you know, with putting pressure on the quarterback. I'm interested to see how a college coach is going to come in and be a good defensive coordinator. But listen, this offense is going to be sick. Because the best thing I've heard all camp is there is no main receiver. It's the guy who's open. And that's the best thing for an offense, especially under the guise of a Jordan Love coming off maybe one of the greatest second halves of a regular season in NFL history, if you think about it. So that's my quick take on them. I guess you'll have to see how much I believe in them when we get to the NFC North and our Super Bowl predictions.
Fair enough. That's a nice little foreshadow right there. Nice to see that your 87 shows have helped you with segueing and foreshadowing, and you haven't lost the step. I'm impressed and proud.
People in my real life don't want to even talk to me because they feel like they're being interviewed or on a podcast with me. I can't turn it off anymore. It's a disease. No, I'm kidding.
I feel like you should probably go into that business-wise then instead of other 9-to-5 shoot job stuff.
If I could, I would, my friend. If I could, I would. I know a trio of guys that would be a great morning show. Two of them are on the show right now.
Who?
You know who I'm talking about.
Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, Biggie. They're not on this show, though. So,
That's an odyssey, Jones.
Fair. Oh, well, I'm not sold on him, you know.
Neither Xavier.
Yeah, that was the most I've agreed with Xavier since he was Consequences Creed. Like, you know, I'm like, okay. But I don't know. When it comes to football, the Bucs are an interesting situation right now because new offensive coordinator, new offense, too, because, like, they kept four tight ends with the final 53. And I'm like, yeah, sure, Kokeeft can be, like, a flex to a fullback or something like that. But if we run more double tight end or triple tight end sets for Baker, that's not bad in a way. It'll keep his percentage up, you know, completion percentage up. It'll get the ball moving old West Coast style where it doesn't matter if it's a short pass or a run, like something's still moving forward. And we don't necessarily need to rely on, you know, the home run. But I don't know. I don't really know. And our kicking situation's as suspect as yours. So I'm hesitant, but I'm optimistic. I'm not as optimistic as I was last year because I knew the Bucks were going to be decent when everybody else was telling me they were going to suck. But like this year, I'm like, I like where it's trending. I also like getting rid of Wolford because I don't understand how he kept a job for so long anyway. Like, he is one of the worst backups I've ever seen. So the fact that he got cut, and I didn't see if he got re-signed to practice squad, but I also wasn't really looking for that. Maybe I just nicely overlooked him because I can't stand that dude. Kyle Trask over most backups. Thank you.
That fullback position is just a waning, dying position in the NFL, considering most teams have a tight end that can block from a backfield position.
Tell that to the Chiefs.
Well,
I forget what the fuck his name is, but as soon as I saw him, I'm like, is Mike Allstott back? Like, you know who I'm talking about. I don't know if you remember the kid's name. But, like, I think he's got, like, long blonde hair. And he's just, like, he runs like Allstott. And I'm just like, why? The Chiefs got better, so much better at so many positions that they were lacking in last year. I'm like, the Chiefs are just fucking scary. And it's a different kind of scary than the Patriots when they were on their domination.
Carson Steele.
Steele, yes.
He's listed as a running back, though.
Is Peyton Hillis, but if he was around nowadays, he'd be a fullback.
It's just the landscape of offense of offenses in the NFL now, where you're gonna see more, like you said, 2-3 tight end sets, more pistol, more shotgun, more single back, mm-hmm. than you do see multiple backs in the backfield besides a quarterback and a running back, you know.
But being a copycat league, like as soon as you get that one team that strikes gold going old school with a fullback, then everybody's going to go old school with a fullback, just like they did with the fucking Wildcat and like they do with everything. Like somebody's like, oh, it's cute, it's a meme, it's a gimmick. Next year, everybody has somebody that can do that. It's like, all right, I get it.
You're not wrong, my friend. You're not wrong. Let's get into our divisional breakdowns here. We're going to start in the AFC, folks. And we're going to start the AFC East. Bills, Dolphins, Pats, and Jets. You got Aaron Rodgers coming back. New coach for the Patriots. New quarterback for the Patriots. Dolphins returning a very powerful offense. And the Bills, they're still the Bills. I don't know if anybody believes in them to be successful in the postseason, but it sure feels like they got a good odds of being there. I mean, where to start here? I think Miami has to obviously be the odds-on favorite to take this division, explosive as that offense is. No? Who do you think?
I think the Jets are the odds-on favorite, assuming they stay healthy. They're the odds-on favorite with the biggest asterisk. Because if Rodgers gets injured running onto the field again, or, you know, something freakish happens, then, okay, the team's screwed like they were last year. But I think this is like the Jets make it or break it kind of year. And looking at schedules, like I think the Jets are better positioned than the Dolphins are, because the Dolphins sucked at the end of last year. They weren't even that impressive during the year. They blew out teams that sucked, and they struggled against teams that didn't suck. And then they lost, what, 5 out of their last 6 and got their doors blown off in the playoffs? The Bills were 6-6 and won the division. How does that happen?
Well, we can all agree the Patriots won't be winning this division at the least. But I would
agreed.
I just don't believe in the Bills. And I don't believe in Robert Saleh either. So that's why, by default, I think Miami wins this division this year.
I mean, you don't need to believe in the head coach for them to do. I don't believe in Todd Bowles, but, like, he won the division last year in the playoff game.
Fine. I traded for Tyreek Hill in my fantasy football league. Okay, motherfucker? Go Dolphins.
There's a good answer. Okay, thank you. I understand your wishing and your logic there. Sure. So our 3 and 4 are the same, because I'm assuming you have Bills 3, Patriots 4, but I have Jets 1, Dolphins 2.
I would put the Bills ahead of the Jets. I just don't believe in. Yeah, I want to see.
Who's the Bills got?
Rodgers
was 6-6 with a stacked team last year.
Rodgers is 41 and coming off a season-ending fucking Achilles surgery. I mean, I know
Bills
he's supposed to look good.
Buffalo.
Here's the other thing.
One good thing from Buffalo, and don't say wings.
Rodgers also is getting into it with his receivers on the sideline, and they're asking him, "Well, if you would have fucking not gone on your ayahuasca retreat, maybe we'd be on the same page already."
Okay, but you still didn't name anything good from Buffalo. You just decided to keep doubling down on Rodgers right there.
I am aware of my statement, sir.
Okay, fair, I suppose. But Rodgers will figure it out. And, like, if they get open, he'll hit them. Like, it's Rodgers. Like, I don't think he's dropped off significantly over the last couple years. Injury or no, ayahuasca or whatever the hell he's doing. He could be on peyote in the middle of the woods and still play better than at least 60% of the quarterbacks right now in the NFL.
The real question is, how's that offensive line going to gel? Because they have brought in some new key members for that line that struggled in the past.
Sure.
And if they can protect them and they can run the football, yeah, obviously. They have an unbelievably talented defense, maybe the best defensive player in the entire league, in Quinnen Williams. So,
I mean, their running back's no joke either. So, like, if he stays healthy and they can make him some lanes, that makes Rodgers' life easier. He's got a competent receiving core. Like, they're set up to win. If they don't, yeah, then the Jets are going to be the Jets and they're going to suck for the next decade, because that's just what the Jets do. But it's they're here this year or nothing, kind of. I feel like that's where they're at.
So, officially, PC's taken the Miami Dolphins and Andrew is taken the New York Rodgers is.
Correct.
All right.
Hey, last year the Texans were the Strouds. The New Jersey Rodgers can work. It's fine.
Let's slide north, shall we? Just because that's the way these. Oh, no. We're going to go west. I wrote it down as west. I'm going to ignore what CBS has their standings in order, and I'm going to do what I wrote down here, and I told you people we were going to do. Let's talk some Carson Steele and the Chiefs, Broncos, Raiders, and the Los Angeles Harbaughs.
I mean, until Herbert is cleared, I guess, yeah, that's all they got, really, so name-wise. So, okay, fair.
I'm going to write down we're both picking Kansas City here.
Yeah, to win the division, yes.
Right.
I've got the Chargers at second in that division, though. But then again, you also remember how we ended last season with super early possible like long shot picks, and I picked the Chargers to make the playoffs. So this is my little shit in one hand, wish in the other, and see which one fills up first, you know?
I think the Broncos will be significantly better this year. I think Sean Payton.
That's a low bar. What does that mean?
I think they'll be the second best team in this division. I think Bo Nix is a guy who can come in and do what Sean Payton wants him to do. I think they're healthier on offense with Javonte Williams, Cortland Sutton. And like I said, these guys have been in this system now for a year, and I think it took some adjusting to get used to Sean Payton. So I think with the easier schedule and the fact that Herbert is not fully ready and the Raiders are going to have Gardner Minshew as their quarterback.
Hey, you know, we loved him a couple years ago.
I mean, the guy can throw a football over a mountain, okay, Uncle Rico, but I just don't think
he was the Chuck Norris of football. That mustache, you know, his dad calls him sir or whatever the fuck those memes were, like, you
Gardner,
know.
Gardner Minshew got a waitress pregnant in Michigan.
Exactly.
And he was in Utah.
Yes. Okay. He's impressive.
There you go. No, this is the no-brainer division. Kansas City here, and I'll be honest, I don't think any of the teams besides Kansas City have made the playoffs.
No, that's fine. And I'm fully aware that I remember where I stuck with the Chargers and how I thought the Harbaugh was going to make that big of a change, because he was that big of a change for the Niners, you know, when everybody was healthy. So I feel like he can do the same thing with the Chargers. And the Chargers picked up a bunch of solid running backs, solid receivers. Their defense is still nothing to shake a stick at. So, like, all Herbert has to do is come back healthy enough and not, like, get re-injured or re-aggravate the plantar fasciitis or whatever exactly it is. And, yeah, I think they're lined up to be the second-best team to me, even without the shit in one hand, wish in the other. Because who knows what the Raiders really are? Like, I don't even think they know. That's why it was AOC or Minshew and, you know, and then, you know. I have to see it from the Broncos.
Apparently he returned to practice.
Herbert?
Yeah. Harbaugh hears voices of angels as Herbert returns to practice.
I would too. There we go.
Yeah, Easton Stick is not the answer. Let's put it that way, okay?
Neither was whoever the hell their third string quarterback is. Like, that, they were some hard games to watch in preseason. Jesus Christ.
You watch preseason football?
A little bit.
Really? I'm sorry, but I got to break this up for the first time this year then.
Dumbass.
Sometimes it's the only time you'll get to see certain younger players or backups, and it's good to see what they can do, even if it's against second and third stringers or practice team guys or whatever the hell it happens to be. And the fact that Easton Stick was getting run around like a fucking Benny Hill skit by no names and third stringers, yeah, he needs to become a lawyer or something. I don't know. Do real estate. Whatever the fuck most retired football players do. Get out of football.
Let's move to the Platt and Cash division of the AFC North, huh? Shall
Platt
we?
And Cash. Yeah.
Ravens, Bengals, Browns, Steelers. This is clearly, by the smell test, a two-team divisional race. The Browns, they've kept four quarterbacks. The Steelers, I don't know.
They have to, though.
The Steelers though, might not even have a good quarterback. And the Ravens and Bengals have two of the best in the division, along with two really good coaches. Not saying that Mike Tomlin isn't a magician there, but I just don't see Russell Wilson endearing himself to that team. And Justin Fields, to me, clearly didn't look great in the preseason.
No, but... It's hard with the AFC North. Like, the Steelers had nobody last year, and they were, what, 7-1, 7-2 at some point? Like, and they were averaging, like, nothing yards-wise, and they were trailing 95% of their games and never had a lead until, like, week 13 or some shit like that.
They're the only team that won however many games it was being outgained in every fucking game. Yeah.
They were negative with a positive winning record, and I just don't understand how that works. So, it's a rough division. I've got the Bengals winning it, if they stay healthy, of course, but that's also because, what, we saw Browning last year. It took him a couple games, but he didn't look terrible. it just took him a few games to get into the rhythm, and by that point, things were already a little too locked up, and they were a little outclassed from their late game schedule. But I've got Bengals, Ravens, Browns, and then Steelers, because who knows what the hell the Steelers are going
to
be.
I'm also picking the Bengals, and to me, it's like the hardest pick of a division winner, because the Ravens, you know, you add Derrick Henry to that offense, and you're just like, okay, yeah, I like that. But I just see Cincinnati, passing-wise, being so dynamic with Burrow and the weapons that he has and the success that they've had out there offensively, him healthy. I think both defenses, I almost give it a push. I know Cincinnati's just been kind of growing, home growing that defense. So we'll see. I mean, Harbaugh is probably the best coach in the division. Sorry, Mike Tomlin. But I have the Steelers, then the Browns. I just, the Brownies, man, they're cursed. What can you do?
I don't disagree. They still might find a way into the playoffs because they did last year. I could see three teams making it from the AFC North.
Yeah,
because they're still competitive. They're still not bad. They didn't lose too much.
Right. I mean, you got seven teams making it, and if only one's coming out of the West and only two are coming out of the East, possibly, well, that could be another three-team division with them. So we'll see. But as far as the South goes, I feel like that's a...
The Strouds.
Yes, that's a one-team playoff division. Texans, Colts, Jags, Titans. I think the biggest disappointment in this division has been the preseason play of Anthony Richardson.
Are you disappointed?
I mean, you figure the guy who had an entire year to learn the playbook and study being injured and out and having watched from the sidelines wouldn't come back in the next preseason and be absolutely dogged by opposing teams saying, this guy doesn't even know where he's throwing it. He throws to a spot. He doesn't throw to a guy. He doesn't get rid of the ball quick enough. You can be as big as he is and as quick as he is, you're still going to get clobbered in the NFL. You still only have 2.5 seconds at most to throw the fucking ball.
Yeah, but you're surprised by that? Like, that's how he got hurt last year.
Yeah.
He wouldn't throw the ball. He'd run. He'd rely on his feet, and he'd get walloped. And if you don't actually go through the motions, you're not going to get better. It doesn't matter how much you read the playbook if you're not actually doing the play in live speed. Like, you don't process things the same way. So, in a way, he's almost still on his rookie year because he had, what, 4 games last year?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, like it was like 4 or 5, depending on injuries. And they weren't even full games because he got knocked out of some of them at some point before he finally got knocked out of the season. So I hope that he goes the way of Donovan McNabb and not of Dante Culpepper. Because I loved watching Culpepper play. I did. But Reed stopped McNabb from scrambling and told him to gain some weight and fucking play in the pocket. And who went to 4 fucking NFC championship games in a Super Bowl and had a decent enough career? And who ended up with a blown out knee and getting fucking ramshackled in fucking Miami?
Listen, I think right now at best they're hoping for Dante Culpepper because it looks like Jamarcus Russell to me.
Damn. I don't disagree, but shit, if you're hoping for Dante Culpepper, you're hoping for what? 3 good years and then his leg falls off? Like, what the fuck?
That looks like a pipe dream right now.
I mean, it took luck a couple years to kind of really figure it out too, though. He was a different quarterback. I'm not saying they're the same quarterback, but it did take him a little bit of time to figure it out, and Hopefully he gets there.
I feel like we both agree there's not a real good reason to give any time to the Titans.
I think the Titans will be better than they were last year. I don't think they're going to be a threat for the division, but I think they're improved. And tell me you didn't love Will Levis's fucking mayonnaise fucking number 8 commercial for his new perfume.
Covered that story on The Oddity a couple weeks ago right here on Chairshot Radio Network.
Okay, there we go then. So because of that commercial alone, I think they're going to be competitive with the rest of the division. But I don't think anybody in the division aside from the Strouds are going to do well.
They do have Calvin Ridley coming back. They did pick up Tony Pollard. We'll see how they do. I think the bigger question is the Jaguars. They pay Lawrence a lot of money.
Yeah, they're going to waste money on sunshine. It's okay.
Doug Peterson's got to be on the hot seat this year, right?
People in Jacksonville love to waste money. It's fine.
How good are the Texans going to be this year, Andrew?
I think I have them kind of slated for like 12 or 13 wins, which I think it's, what, a little better than they were last year?
I mean, you can damn near pencil six in right off the bat for the division.
Yeah, almost. I mean, they'll probably drop one. It's a division game. Shit
right.
happens. You
right.
know, blah. But, yeah, they're going to be a house. They're going to be hard to contend with.
Do you think the addition of Stefon Diggs could end up being a subtraction?
Not the first year.
Okay.
I'm glad that you understood what I said there. Yeah, like, he's always good that first year, especially if they make the playoffs and they do well and he gets some action. It's when it starts to languish and when he's the meme of just standing there watching the confetti fall on the other team for like 3 years in a row, then I think that starts to play on him.
I hope he realizes that they have a plethora of weapons and he just needs to be a role guy and has to be. The biggest thing he can do is be positive for this young team.
Well, remember, Antonio Brown was good for 1 year on the Bucks.
Yeah.
Then his brain broke.
Well,
I said so then his brain broke or very, whatever, you know.
Very polite way of putting it.
Yeah. See, I can be politically correct on occasion.
You can be PC once in a while, huh?
Once in a blue moon, yeah.
All right, let me recap it up for you guys. Andrew has the Jets, and I have the Dolphins in the East, being that division's winner. And we have the same division winners, West, North, and South. The Chiefs, the Bengals, and the Texans. I think those are all pretty solid picks right there.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
There's an argument for the Ravens winning the North, of course.
Oh, 100%. Like, yeah, they're a playoff team. Like I said, that's the biggest coin flip to me in the AFC as far as division winners go.
So it's not like it's completely chalk on the other three. It's just I feel like the Bengals always come back well on a revenge tour. Like, you know, Burrow got hurt his rookie year, came back. They went to the fucking Super Bowl the next year. So he gets hurt last year. What's going to happen this year? So I feel like it's going to be good eating for the Bengals. That's all.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break right here. You're listening to Chairshot NFL, Andrew Belaz and PC Tunney, Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick yourself up a T-shirt or a tank top or a long sleeve or a hoodie. Plenty of great fun designs. Makes a great gift as well. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. When we return, we we'll be getting into the NFC side of things right here, Chairshot NFL.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back. PC Tunney and Andrew Belaz here with you right here on Chairshot NFL. You can follow us at Chairshot NFL, and you can find us every Thursday morning right there, Chairshot Radio Network, getting you ready for each weekend of the NFL season. Andrew, let's get over to that NFC East division, that oh-so-fun NFC East division, Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, and Commanders. Oh, my. This is an interesting division to pick considering the collapse of the Philadelphia Eagles last year, the construction, destruction of the Cowboys by one Jared Jones, the awfully poorly quarterbacked New York Giants, and a Commanders team with a new offensive coordinator in Cliff Kingsbury and a guy in Jaden Daniels who has some weapons could end up being rookie of the year, in my opinion. What do you think about the NFC East?
This one is the biggest coin flip out of all of them. I was going through all of their schedules, and it's odd. I still, to cut to the chase, I favor the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are still winning the division because they do have the most talent still there. They don't have the most questionable stuff in flux. But it's all coin flippy. It's like if three of those games go one way and not the other, like then suddenly we could see the Commanders win the division. So I don't think it's out of scope for any team to win that division because it's such a question mark, and it always is.
Giants?
Daniel Jones had 1 year. He could turn it on out of nowhere. I don't think he will, but I'm just saying it's not completely out of the question that something might just happen and he might go on like a streak. Even Zach Wilson looked good for a couple games last year. So, like, you know, everybody has their moments. You know, you remember the Pastrnak? Everybody thought that was like the fucking Cinderella story for like four games, and then he suddenly fell off a cliff, and everybody realized why he gets traded around to eight teams at once.
The Tommy DeVito.
Yeah. And then his agent screwed him out of any kind of career. It's, hey, what you mean? We need more money from this mom and pop a piece of place, you know? No. Okay. But yeah, I got the Cowboys. I don't think it's going to be a fun division to watch. I don't think that any threat for the Super Bowl is coming from that division, but I'm still going to give it to the Cowboys.
I mean, I'm most excited to see what Jaden Daniels and the Commanders do offensively. I think that team could be in the top 10 of the league, but
they don't have a defense. That's the problem.
Right. And here's my thing with the Cowboys. Like, Zeke's your guy? I mean, I hope Rico Dowdle is going to be as good as you think he's going to be. Dak doesn't have a contract after this year. They just paid the shit out of CD, who's been out all camp. So I don't necessarily believe in the Cowboys.
He doesn't need to train speed, though. If he just runs, like, go routes 90% of the time, like...
I believe in the Eagles this year. I think they're going to remedy the things that they happened to them last year. I still think they have the best quarterback in the division. And if Saquon Barkley can stay healthy, that's a great addition for that offense. It's a outlet for Hurts under pressure. I mean, Barkley's one of the better pass-catching running backs out of the backfield in the NFL.
Sure. When he's healthy. And how well did the Giants do with him?
He had a decent year last year when he was on the field.
When he was on the field.
Well, they also had Daniel Jones and not Jalen Hurts.
Sure, Hurts is an upgrade, but like it's not rent a car right here. Like Hurts, it still ain't the answer. Hurts is a game manager at best.
He's my answer.
I'm definitely on that conversation from last year where Hurts doesn't do anything to change the game. He's not a dynamic player. He's just a dude that'll get somebody a ball if they're open.
On my fantasy football team, he's a dynamic player, okay?
you really lit in the fantasy football dictate.
He's got 28 rushing touchdowns over the last two seasons.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
So what does that tell you?
Well, that
he ain't going to be passing to Saquon. He ain't going to be passing to no one.
That's going to help him. That's going to be another option for him.
Saquon's not on your team, is he?
No, I traded him to get Hurts.
See, that's why. You know it. You're lying out your fucking teeth right now. He's going to be a good option for Hurts. No, he's a decoy.
Listen.
People are going to go swing out to stop the flare on Saquon, and then you're going to see the QB draw, and it's going to be fucking 57 rushing touchdowns for fucking Hurts, and you're going to be like, yay, I want my fantasy game.
Listen. I'm in a three-keeper league, and arguably I have the three best players at the best player at each position, quarterback, running back, and receiver, with Hurts, Hill, and McCaffrey.
Hill, McCaffrey, and that didn't sound like you said Mahomes for the quarterback, so I disagree.
Mahomes wasn't even top 10 in fantasy fucking football last year.
We're not talking fantasy on this show, though.
I understand. I know we're talking real stuff. I still got the
when you said the best on each position.
For fantasy football. But yeah, the East, ugly division. You got the Cowboys, I got the Eagles, and I think we're both, out of all the teams, I think we're both most looking forward to see how that Washington offense operates.
Also curious what name they're going to end up with in the next couple years, because the fact that that's still a conversation is exhausting.
I don't like Commanders. Go back to Washington football team if you want to do that.
Agreed. Washington football team is definitely better than the Commies, but, mm-hmm. You know.
We'll see. They could have been the Hogs. They could have been the Red Tails. I mean, they could have done a whole bunch of stuff.
They could have been literally anything else, and it's better than Commanders.
Yeah, it was pretty blah. Pretty blah.
Yeah, it's cornball.
All right, let's head over to the other side of the country. The NFC West, the Cardinals, Rams, Niners, and Seahawks. I think we both know whose division this is to lose. I'm interested to see how good the Rams can be this year. I'm interested to see how good Marvin Harrison Jr. will be with the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not as high on the Seahawks as I was last year.
That's good. That's the best take you've made all show so far. Fucking Super Bowl Seahawks. What the fuck was that drunk
pick? I did it to be different.
None of us had the same pick. So we were all different to a degree. It's... You didn't have to go with the Seahawks. You could have tempered it within reason.
Well, I mean, I had Seahawks and Chiefs, and you had Chiefs and Niners, and I wanted to be different. And we all know how much I was in the back pocket of the Niners last year.
True. Who did Ray have? Did Ray have like the Ravens and the Eagles or something like that? Did he have a Bird Bowl?
If you
because I think he put the Ravens in because he went a little homer on that one, but
that is a different notebook.
Okay.
It's been a lot of shows since then.
fair play. But yeah, I don't. The Niners are a question mark too now, honestly, because
what
the hell they doing? Purdy didn't look good this preseason. It's preseason, so you take it for what it's worth. I get that, but Ayuk is still an issue. You know, sure, they've got McCaffrey, but McCaffrey's also had injury issues his entire fucking career. And the fact that he made it through last year healthy, that kind of, I would be concerned about this year. Trying to get him to have two healthy years back to back is, that's a wish and a prayer right there. So if it happens, awesome. If not, I'm kind of see it coming. I don't like the division completely because it's so many questions. Like you already brought up, like, how's Marvin Harrison Jr. and Kyler going to work themselves out? How are the Rams going to look with, you know, Stafford and another season with Puka and Kupp and all them? And it's just like, I begrudgingly am on the Niners winning the division just because they kind of have to, you know, you have to beat the champ to be the champ kind of thing. And until they beat the shit out of them, I don't see a reason to dethrone them just yet. But I don't know. I think the Cardinals could be sneaky good this year. If Kyler and Harrison Jr. click, their schedule's not that difficult. The fact that they'll probably split against the Rams, you know, the Seahawks, I have no faith in. But you had more faith than I did last year, so maybe they'll be surprising. And they might split against the Niners, too, because the Niners aren't nearly as dominant as they were. And they're reeling off that Super Bowl hangover. So, could be the Cardinals. Cardinals are like that outside shot to win the division, in my opinion.
No, I'm on the Niners. I think they have the best offensive play caller in that division in their head coach.
Unless it's overtime or it's a Super Bowl and you're up by 10 points or more.
Touche, salesman.
But just saying.
No. Yeah, and I like the new young weapons for the Cardinals, see what Kyler Murray can do with that. Rams, definitely very good head coach, very good quarterback. See how healthy they can be this year. They definitely found their running back in Kyren Williams last year, so that's something that they can use as a cornerstone for that offense. But I just think defensively the Niners are still the cream of the crop in the entire NFC.
I mean, we'll see. I wouldn't quite go that far. I'm still higher on a couple other teams, but at least in that division, you have to kind of beat them to make me believe. So we'll see.
The NFC North, Bears, Lions, Packers, Vikings. Let me tell you something. This year's Hard Knocks with the Chicago Bears is the most boring fucking season of Hard Knocks I've ever watched. Mm-hmm. These guys, I don't know if it's the coach or the players or the fact that the owners didn't want to have any of their people swearing on television. But
oh, you don't like discussions of Love Island while stretching? You don't like that? You're not a big Love Island fan?
I watched the first 2 weeks, and I haven't watched since. I've
watched highlights, and that's too much, and it bores me.
Yeah, it was just not a great season for Hard Knocks there with the Bears. This division is a two-team division. There's no quarterback in Minnesota. The Bears are still the Bears. I'm not.
You don't believe in fucking Darnold?
No.
Okay, and good answer. I don't either, but I just took me a second to remember what the fuck his name was too, because I'm like seeing
McCarthy's
ghosts.
Out. Yeah.
Sam Darnold. That's
Sam
right.
Sam Darnold. Yeah. Let's go to you first. Who do you got winning this division?
I got the Lions.
Okay.
I think the Lions are gonna come back angry, because sure, their aggressive play style bit them in the ass, but it's also what got them there. So you can't fault it. You know what I mean? Like, be it, what was it, that Cowboys game during the regular season when they went for the 2-point conversion 3 times and technically they got it once, but then bullshit happened and they failed all 3 times at, you know, as per regulation. And then, you know, they're going for 4th downs, kind of screwed them. But I don't know. I like what the Lions are doing. I think this is a good time for Goff to maybe just put the team on his back again and get something done and prove something. But I don't know. Make a case for the Packers, because I'm still on that same kind of spot I was last year, where there's more tape on Love now. There's more understanding of how he plays. So he's going to not be as dynamic as he was probably this year that he was the back half of last year, because people didn't know what he could do. You know what I mean?
I'm picking the Packers. I think Detroit comes back to earth a little bit. I don't think they're as good as they were last year. The thing about the Packers is there isn't a deeper wide receiver room in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of targets out there that are running the right routes and being where they're supposed to be for Jordan Love, who has already said, I don't have a favorite. Who's your favorite target? The open target, right? They also have two very good tight ends that are good pass catchers. You bring in Josh Jacobs instead of re-signing Aaron Jones. I don't necessarily agree with that. I do like the look of their rookie Marshawn Lloyd. I think he's going to play a bigger factor into this offense than you think, but Jordan Love could be the MVP of this league this year. And with a defense that's going to be more aggressive and trying to force more turnovers than they have in the past, switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3, I don't see a ceiling for this Green Bay Packers team, and I think you're going to see the most prolific offense in the NFL this year up in Green Bay.
Interesting.
Now, we don't have a kicker. We'll just have to go for two, but that's fine. Maybe we can just
seems to like to do that anyway. It's fine.
Let's just bring Mason Crosby back. He can kick 30-yard field goals. It's all we need for extra points.
I mean, it's been a couple years. Maybe he's got the shanks out of his fucking system, so.
At one point in his career, he was the highest percentage kicker in the league, but that was a few years before.
So it was Vinatieri.
Yeah, they all go through that. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the Vikings, Darnold, you lost me there, right? I like Aaron Jones to pick up there. Justin Jefferson's back. The Bears, I know you got offensive weapons for Caleb Williams, but I just don't see them being above 500 with the rookie quarterback that they have. I still don't think that offensive line is very good. I won't be surprised if Detroit makes the playoffs. I still think they're a 10-plus win team. But I think these Green Bay Packers are winning 12 to 14 games in the regular season.
See, I've got it flipped. I think the Lions are the team that wins the 12-14 game somewhere around there. And that the Packers are kind of on that 9-10 bubble of they'll scrape into the playoffs somewhere in the wild card.
We shall see. We shall see. Mm-hmm. All right. The last division. The Andrew Belaz division. Kara, Falcons, Panthers, Saints, and Buccaneers, my friend. Obviously, I think the team with the biggest stories of the offseason is the Falcons. Kirk Cousins coming in, getting that veteran quarterback. See how he can come back off of injury. I think it was a good move for the Buccaneers to pay Baker Mayfield. I don't think they were going to find anything better to bring in immediately.
Oh, agreed.
The Panthers are going to be horrible. And
yeah, they suck.
The Saints, that coach is another one that's on the hot seat too.
The Saints don't know what the fuck they're doing anyway. Like, everything is falling apart for that damn team. Like, nothing looks good. I think the salary cap shenanigans they did is starting to catch up with them. And Derek Carr is looking like, you know, what everybody thought Derek Carr was going to look like, and not that one, like, really great season he had in Oakland, whatever that was, 4 or 5 years ago. And it's just, he's not doing anything to move the needle, really, or move the ball. So, and what, poor Kamara. Kamara's whole fucking career fell off.
He had a decent year last year.
He played like 6 games or some shit like that. No. Or felt like he played 6 games. I know he missed a few games because of a suspension. Because it was that Vegas issue that he was suspended for a while. Then he came back and he was kind of irrelevant. Even if numbers-wise he did decent, like, he didn't make any big waves.
Yeah, I mean, he still had 75 catches for 500 yards and rushed for 500 yards and had touched or 700 yards. So we'll see. I just like Derek Carr is not the answer there or anywhere.
Derek Carr could be like, I still contend he would have been fine going to the Bucks last year because the team is built different. The team is built. It was built around a pocket passer. It was built around someone that could actually, like, drive the ball and sit back there and play with big targets, fast targets, just get the ball out there. The Saints never really were that. They always used scat backs. They always used, like, dink and dunk kind of things. Like, you know, Breeze was short, so that didn't help. Then the next year they had a, you know, smorgasbord of Winston and then Tyson Hill and then who the fuck was the other one? I forget what the hell his name was.
I couldn't remember their fourth string quarterback.
But you know what I mean. Like, it's just like
it was a revolving door.
So it was just It was just dink and dunky, and like they didn't really have a bomber or a fast guy. So like that team wasn't set up for Derek Carr. That team is set up for Chad Pennington.
I'm going with the Falcons. I think Kirk Cousins brings the best out of those guys on the offense, those young, talented guys, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, I think, steps up and has a really good season. And I don't know if Kyle Pitts is ever going to turn into the player he was, but he's definitely much better off with Kirk Cousins behind center.
Oh, yeah, I don't disagree with you. I've got the Falcons winning that division, too, especially with the addition of Judon. Like, they are a lot like the Jets in that win now kind of mode. And I have less faith that the Falcons know how to execute it, but I feel like the caliber of people they picked up is higher than what the Jets have collectively picked up. So I feel like the Falcons had more tangible shot at actually making waves.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. definitely the experience of Cousins. If he comes back like the guy he was, he's hands down the best quarterback in the division, and that's a really good place to start for any team.
It's not like he was ever a scramble guy, you know what I mean? Right. Like, all they have to do is protect him in the pocket, and he'll do what he does.
Couldn't agree more. Let me run them down. Andrew has the Jets, the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Texans, the Cowboys, the Niners, the Lions, and the Falcons as his division winners this year. PC has the Dolphins, the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Texans, the Eagles, the Niners, the Packers, and the Falcons as his division winners. And folks, it is now time for a very cautious part of the show.
Cuidado, mucho cuidado, que estás tomando por un rumbo equivocado. Cuidado.
Can Andrew Melaz do it 2 years in a row and pick the Super Bowl combatants in the preseason? I'm going to let you pick first, my friend. I have mine written down already.
I've had mine written down since March. I even, like, stamped it just to make sure. I'm just like, yeah, this is who I think it is. And I looked at it before the show today, and I'm like, I still feel okay with this pick. So, Chiefs versus the Falcons.
Wow. Okay. Wow, the Falcons. The Chiefs are not a very surprising pick.
I don't think anybody's going to find that surprising. But
no,
like,
I'm not.
What they were able to do with nothing, then now they've gotten better.
Sure.
Someone would have to run Patrick Mahomes over with a car for them to probably lose. Like, so.
I'm taking the Packers.
Okay, but it sounds like you're going spicy for the AFC.
The Houston Strouds.
You think the Strouds are going to have their coming of age? It's going to be like the youngest fucking Super Bowl ever?
It would be. It'd probably be the youngest average age of the two teams in the Super Bowl ever.
And it probably would definitely be the youngest starting quarterbacks for, you know, average age between the two.
Maybe not. It's hard to say. I'd have to go back and look. Likely. But people forget that this is Jordan Love's fifth year.
Yeah, but you'd act like he was Stetson Bennett when he got drafted. Like, he was still, like, 21, 22 when he got drafted.
I understand.
And, you know, Stroud is 23, 24?
I'll effort that for next week.
Just saying. It's not very often that, you know...
Well, if you would have picked
there in the first couple years of their...
I mean, if you'd have picked the Jets instead of the Chiefs, you could have had like the oldest starting quarterbacks ever.
See, as much as I said the Jets are like a win now team, I don't think they're better than the Chiefs.
No, I don't either.
I think Rodgers is going to continue his brand of get to the championship game and lose, which that might sting a little for you.
He's won one. Like... He won one championship game and followed that up with a Super Bowl victory.
Sure. He's a slightly more positive Donovan McNabb. Because at least he won in the Super Bowl.
Okay. He also is a four-time... Okay, you're not goading me into that argument. That's fine. It's good to see you. We're not doing that today.
Okay. Hey, I didn't hear you picking the Jets. So, like, now you're getting defensive.
I'm not. I didn't even pick them to win the division.
I know. So, like, the fact that you were almost defensive is hilarious.
Well, the fact that, like, you compare, you're saying Rodgers is slightly better than McNabb is a travesty, a sham, and a mockery. It's a travesty mockery on your part.
Travesty mockery? Is that Tony Schiavone's, like, cousin right there? It's travesty mockery, everybody.
Sunday.
It's stinging. Travesty mockery.
Well, my friend, I think we got all our predictions in the book. I'm looking forward to another fun season of the NFL, another fun season of Chairshot NFL as well. Make sure you're checking out Ray Cash and Carl Urban's new show.
Urban's?
I think his last name is Urban.
Is it? That's an actor, you know.
Not Urban. Irvin.
There we go.
I didn't say urban. You cunt.
It sounded like, hey, cunt, okay, you know, it sounded like fucking urban to me.
Yes,
that
yes.
Was like,
tune in to
the show Carl Urban now?
Yeah. Tune in to the Front and Center Sport Podcast with Billy the Butcher and Ray Cash every Sunday morning on the Chairshot Radio Network. No,
a good show, what can I say?
Yeah, check that out. Ray Cash has said he will pop in on this show to keep us in line once in a while and make sure there is some Ravens talk, so.
Okay, so we have to bury the Ravens at all possible chances. That's what this is. Okay. I understand the gimmick now.
There you go. All right, my friend. Let everybody know what you got going over there at thechairshot.com. A little TNA coverage here and there, huh?
It's just TNA coverage. This week is Emergence, which, I mean, if you saw my coverage lately, TNA has not done a very good job with their shows lately. The best parts of TNA people watch on NXT. So I'm not sure what we're getting out of the Emergence show this week because it's been rough. It's been a time.
Do you see any unexpected WWE-related talent showing up? With the partnership, with the, you know, unspoken partnership that they actually have?
I mean, they've got the one Osborne kid from Chase U in the Ultimate X match for Emergence. Charlie Dempsey had a really good wrestling match with Jonathan Gresham, but as the crowd kind of didn't react and as everybody kind of noticed watching the show, people don't want real wrestling. So that's why AEW is not doing too good because, you know, You need stories. You need sports entertainment. Wrestling doesn't fucking get people in seats.
Yeah. They're
concepts.
They're bad.
I know. I've been saying that for years.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. I think the last time we were still on board with AEW was a little bit of the bubbly. So that's a long time ago.
Yeah, the last time I was on board with AEW was what? Revolution 2020? Or 2021. You know, I'm gonna say this for you. The dark times when we went to that other website for a little bit, whatever year that was, that revolution, that was a really good pay-per-view. Then it's like, as soon as Fyter Fest happened and Double or Nothing, I'm like, those were the worst fucking shows I've ever seen. And I'm like, and we're done here. Like, you had me for 3 months, you know?
And you blew it.
Yeah, like, it's like, you had me in the first half. And it's like, no.
Dumbass.
Exactly.
Well, folks, thanks for tuning in. You can follow Andrew at IWC Warchief. You can follow me at PC Tunney. You can continue to find some of the best podcasts around on Chairshot Radio Network. We got you covered with sports. We got you covered with entertainment. And we got you covered with sports entertainment. Until next week, folks, get ready for some football, man. It's going to be a great season. We'll talk to you then.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.